the whole time you were at Olive View, since you were negative, did they let you see your family?
Yeah, anybody could visit me. Anybody could visit. And now the children, like on holidays, I could see them through, like here, see, I would, my bed would be here, and I could see them play outside. They wave. The general hospital was the same way. While I was there, they took the children.
And were you on bed rest, or were you able to walk around? And
well, after my ball pack in January of 50, well, after 6 weeks, and then after 4 weeks, they take a x-ray. And after they took that x-ray, why, then the doctor said that I'd get my get-up schedule. And you never see anybody as happy as I was. I think all the old patients are when they tell me to get up. And then I started on my schedule. And then finally, I think it took 8 weeks to really step on the floor. And then I was, what I used to call PRNs after a while. And then you just, you're on your own, make your bed and do things. Like, it's easy on an easy level until I come home.
What was your relationship like with the other women in your ward?
We'd all get along good, all of us. Because if somebody was moody in the morning, we just ignore them, we don't bother them. But there was no quarrel, there was no, everybody was, you know, they cooperated.
Did you become close to anybody?
Yeah, I used to have, you know, certain friends that I used to associate more than I did other ones. But mostly I used to do, because there were a lot of older women. And I used to spend my time helping these other patients. They were, because we were all in a negative ward, so we couldn't, after we were negative, we couldn't be the same. So I always used to help the nurses, you know, with water, with the other patients. I used to go there and read for them, and some, there were some Mexican ladies who couldn't speak English, so I used to, and I could speak, I could read Spanish and write letters. And so I used to write letters for them and read the paper for them. And so that's how I spend my time.
Taking care of others.
Right.
Now, when the, you knew that you were coming home, what were your thoughts about your future? What did you think you wanted to do?
Well, I didn't plan for the future. I knew that sooner or later I was going back to work. That was my main object. And my children. That's it. Then my children. The day that I could really be with them.
And did their father continue to see them after you were divorced?
Yeah, once in a while he'd come over, but he'd figure, well, she didn't want to live with me anymore, so that's what hurt me so bad. And then he took up drinking very heavy. So I never did want to alimony, or I didn't want anything like that. So, and lucky didn't have a, when I took sick the first time, I was looking like, well, they didn't have no insurance. They didn't have no nothing. You know? So we were just on our own after we left there. So I wanted to, I never did want to sign for alimony. I never did want to put him in jail. Another thing. So finally, when they told me that I was going to have surgery, then I did a little deep thinking, and I said, why should I let him go out like that, you know? And they had already given him a medical, a dishonorable discharge, and he didn't work. So let him just go like that, just feeling sorry that he's drinking so heavy. And then a lady, the social worker from there, went to ask me who was providing for my children, and different questions. So then she suggested that, it says, why don't we make an application so your parents can have some help? And the town will be able to help your parents, pay your parents, and provide for the children. So I says, well, I don't know. I have to talk to my dad. But there's only one thing that you have to do. You have to sign a failure to provide complaint against your husband. So I talked to my dad, and then he said, well, they can help me with the children, but as far as paying me, I don't want them to pay me to take care of my grandchildren. So they arranged it this way, that when they would pick up my husband, so I signed, they took it to the district attorney, they was going to help my parents with the children up to the day that they found my husband. So they did right away. He was getting out of the house one morning. He had just come back from Arizona. He was staying with his brother, because his brother owned practically all of 103rd Street in Watts.
Mm-hmm.
That was when it was absorbed by the Spanish people. They had a garage and three gas pumps. And he went over there, and Alan told him, "New Watts, and they're looking for you." And I don't blame them, because they used to think of me quite a bit, and they didn't approve of things he used to do. And he said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to stay here very long." I said, "Well, you better be careful." And he arrived, like, last night, but next morning he went out. He got up and went out to help Alan in the garage. There were two detectives there outside. And he said, "Are you Sam Payne?" He says, "No, look at your picture." He goes, "No." They took him. And, well, he served 1 year of failure to provide. They were strong then, not like they are now. They let him go. And so they used to send, he had to work. Put him to work, and he used to keep so much for his cigarettes, and then send all the money. But he had, the county was sending the check to my parents for the children to make sure that they get something every month, and all the money that Sam would make, that he was supposed to send it to the court or take it to the court, and then the court send it to the county to make sure that the children were provided, and that the court would take care of him over here, and then the court would send it to the county, pay the county. Because I don't think we had state aid at that time. It was county. So that's the way it worked until I was well and be able to, and until the children became of age, that's when he stopped sending alimony.
Now, when you got out of the hospital, then the three older children came and lived with you and Nick?
Well, not right away. Not right away, till afterward. It was about a year and a half, because I wanted to make sure I was all right, you see? Then I had to work, and my parents, it was too hard for me. So they were all right with my parents. They were in school and everything, so I just let them stay there. And I used to come and stay with them, and I was able to take them with me on weekends, take them on outings. So I was really like two homes, but separate, on account that I wanted to make sure. See, and they told me I couldn't be for the children for a long time. Every time I used to go to the health department for an x-ray, well, the first thing they'd ask was about the children. Are they still with your parents? Yes, but we had to have them in for a check for an x-ray. So that's the way it was.
Now, and then you started working at the electronics firm when?
In September of 1950.
And what made you, so you were only out of the hospital
when you went? No, I was out 8 months. So that would make 51, right? August, I think. I left all of you in August of 1950. I started working in the middle of 1951.
And how did you decide to start in that work?
Because electronic was, everybody, you know, was a thing then. I was reading the papers about electronic and electronic. Then I had a girlfriend that was working at Solar Electronics. And I had back in my mind that I wanted to go back to work. So I had my 8 months x-ray. And then I asked the doctor if I could work. And he says, "Well, with that x-ray, you could work 24 hours. You can go to work now. Just, you know, don't burn the candle with ends. Take it easy and work and have a happy frame of mind, because this is most essential for you." I said, "Okay." So then I started working the following week.
Now, where was this located?
Slauson and Santa Fe.
And you were still living on Washington and Hilda with Nick?
Yes.
And what was the job like? What did you do exactly?
Oh, no, I wasn't working at the, I wasn't living in the apartment. Because when I came out, Nick had a little home, two-bedroom home already, all fixed for me.
Where was that?
In West L.A. on 90, let me see, what it was, I think it was 85th and Vermont. And it was all nice, all colored people, it was all white, it was a beautiful neighborhood. I had a real nice little home there that he had ready for me when I came home. Because he took care of me the whole 2 years that we were there. He was there every Tuesday and Wednesday. and everything I needed from radio, because we were allowed to have radios but with earphones. And no, he took care of me.
How did you feel about you going back to work then, when you went to work in electronics?
Well, he didn't like it too well, but I guess I've been too stubborn. I finally talked him to let me go to work. And I did. I went to work.
What didn't you like about it, Bailey?
Well, on account of my health, you know, that they always used to worry about me getting sick. That it gets on your nerves sometimes, you know, the people, your relatives, they mean good, but sometimes they overdo it. And that's the thing that you have to be careful, you know. And you try to get away. Like me, I never forgot. I up to today, I don't forget what I have. How I have to be careful, or the symptoms. Because I never had TB before, and when I had this cold, when I was working for Lucky, one day I never had cough, and I just had pneumonia and a cold. I got up one morning, and I cough, and since I hadn't back on my mind this tuberculosis, I said, gee, I wonder if I'm coming down with TB to myself. So when I coughed, I said, I'm going to check my sputum. And I seen little streaks of blood. I said, that's it. No ifs and ands about it, that I'm going to take that. On account of my children, I didn't want to be around my children. That's it. Right away I rushed to the bed. And I just wanted to get, I didn't tell nobody. I didn't tell my parents. But right away, I just wanted to get away, and I did. I went to the general.
Now, tell me about working in the electronics plant. What was that like?
Well, I'd sit on the table, a lot of girls. Then we used to get a lot of little wires and put them through. It was like a board. Yeah. And then we used to put little wires here and little wires there. It was a tedious job. But then I started, so I kept on working, but then I was a lead lady, so I didn't have to do that. I just have to go around the girls, you know, checking the girls and things like that.
How many people were under you once you were lead?
Oh, I think they were, about five tables.
Mm-hmm. But about how many women would you say?
I think about 10 women on each table.
So about 50.
Yeah, about 50 women. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, did you go right from being doing the wiring to lead?
Yeah.
How long did that take till you became a lead lady?
About 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then they knew more or less what I could do. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of test you out and then they put you there.
What was your pay like when you first started there doing the wiring? Remember?
I think it was 75, if I'm not mistaken, or 85.
So it wasn't more than that.
No, not much more. No.
And when you became a lead, what did it go up to?
Up to a dollar, or a dollar ten. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was this a union shop?
No. Mm-hmm. That's when I quit, when I started into the union. And I lived there 5 years. And I used to read, the unions were pretty dirty at that time. They still are, the union. And so I would check, the company was fair. They used to pay, according to the wages of that time, you know, everything was, now you tell people I was earning 75 cents. Well, I think I made more with my 75 cents than the people do now of what they earn. You know, the dollar's worth 39 cents the other day. My husband and I was figuring it out. He makes $82 a day. I says, well, you don't make $82 a day. You make $31.90 a day. So, I see that they treat everybody fair, that I don't see any reason why we should have the union. Because as soon as the union would come in, this whole place is going to turn, and it's going to be hard on us. And then we have to pay union dues. And that's what I couldn't
see it. How did you think it would be hard on you? In what way?
Because a company was going to have different, I mean, they wasn't going to work the same. They wasn't going to treat it the same. Because we were being, in other words, traitors. Mm-hmm. See, so So finally the union went in.
What union was that?
Let me see.
Was that electrical workers?
Electrical workers, right. Mm-hmm. Electrical workers. Mm-hmm. Electrical workers. And I put right up the union.
There was an election then? A union election?
Yeah, two and two for the yeah. Mm-hmm. But I did, I used to, I had trouble, I didn't, the representatives, I just, if they tell me something, I would, I thought, well, I believe, I don't care who it is. And I, instead of having arguments like that, I just terminate and I say, that's it, they tried it. And the company begged me, I says, we don't, we know where you stand here and you'll be the same way as long as you work in here. But still, I just, I couldn't, because a lot of girls would, they were different. They didn't know anything about the union. So, I turned in my termination.
Now, how, was this all women working?
Oh, they were men. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of men, too.
But the women were doing the wiring?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, when you were lead, was it all women under you, or were there also men under
no,
you?
No, women, mm-hmm. women. Then the one that was above me was the supervisor.
Was a man?
Uh-huh. A man. Mm-hmm. Well, the lead woman and... And there are more, there's more lead men than there is lead mm-hmm. women. Not very many they weren't qualified. You know, mm-hmm. They had the qualifications they needed.
Did you ever have a role as a lead woman?
No.
Uh-uh. Well, it sounds like this was a rather large place.
Oh, yeah, it was very large.
What, a couple hundred
mm-hmm.
employees?
Yes, uh-huh. That one shows an enterprise mm-hmm. first started.
Tell me, Balin, how did you feel about this work compared to, I mean, the electrical work, compared to the work that either upholstery work or what you were doing during the war at Lockheed, the riveting and drill press?
Well, I enjoyed each one in the long level, mm-hmm. but I can't say this was better than the other, or the other one was better, mm-hmm. or I was, no, I enjoyed each one. I don't can say that it was any different because I was treated the same way almost mm-hmm. everywhere I worked during my work life.
You say this was tedious though. How did that
it was tedious. It was small. And I was, if I had stayed on that job a long time, I'd have quit because I don't like tedious. In fact, mm-hmm. I hardly ever liked to work sitting down. My main thing was nursing in the back mm-hmm. of my mind. So, but since the turnover, another job, well, then I enjoy that because I had to get up and walk and talk and see. That's the kind of work I don't like to just sit.
Now, as lead woman, you would do what exactly?
Well, they would say how much they want. Do they want this job? They want that job, they used to give me the orders of what they want for the day. So if one of the girls, something was wrong with the machine or something, I would like go there and check it and help them out. And mm-hmm. girls, help breaking them girls. So that's what I used to do.
Did you use any kind of testing equipment or anything? Did you learn how to do those sorts of things?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They test and everything. In fact, I worked here too afterwards, way after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in 55, then, you quit when mm-hmm. the union came in?
Yeah, in 55.
Now, tell me about your life at home in terms of your husband and children during those 5 years that you were working. You still stayed in the little house in on 85th in Vermont?
No, we moved closer to my parents. Mm-hmm. We moved in the east side then, on Harbor Street on the east side.
I see.
And that was closer to my parents.
And what were your, at what point did the children come back home and live with you and Nick? Were they living with you when you were working in the electronics place then?
No, well, towards the end, yes, they were. Towards the end, they were, yeah.
And how would you and Nick spend your time together when you were off of work? What sorts of things would you do together?
Well, usually I used to stop and see the children, then he'd pick me up, and then we'd go out and have dinner, mm-hmm. you know, someplace before we went home so I wouldn't have to do all that. Sometimes we had dinner with my mother, mm-hmm. and then I'd go home and he'd help me do whatever had to be straightened out. On the weekends we used to clean up the house and then the girls would help me. Norma, she was the oldest. And then on Sundays we'd take all the kids to the beach or go to a picnic and my parents and my brothers and sisters and we'd go to the park.
Did you have friends outside of the family that, that you and he would go places with?
His family. It was, he knew a lot of people, I mean, they used to work with him and the wives, but only once in a while. It was usually the families, you know, his family. And we went to New Orleans. He took me to New Orleans to meet his family for the Mardi Gras and, in 1960.
Now, you say he worked in the produce industry. Did he have to go down there very early in the morning?
Oh, yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning.
And, there was something I wanted to ask you about him and the family. Oh, did you take up dancing again? Did he dance?
No.
So after you were young?
After I was, because Sam didn't like me, he's so rest in peace. And, you know, I'm not bitter towards them because what happened, it was just part of my life, I guess. But I fought it. I finally overcome all my problems. And now I see back, even Sam, he's dead. I think more of Sam, maybe because he was my first husband, my first
father,
than I do Nick.
Now, what was your relationship like with Nick during those early years when you were working in the electronics?
Nice, but he had one habit. One had one, the other one had happened. He used to like women. He was a woman chaser. You know, most Italians are. And he was about 12 years older than I was. So, but he was, he never did neglect me or the home or the kids. And I think he did more for the kids than their own father. And I used to forgive him when he used to get those spells. He'd leave the house for a week or two and come back. Well, I kind of learned how to cope with it.
Would you talk about it with him at all?
There's another thought that I have. I hardly ever talk to my husbands about what I feel. Because they don't seem to understand. I think, too, where I had problems with my marriage, that I never did marry a man. Well, Sam was almost similar to my philosophy and my everything, and my world thing. But as far as Nick, no, we were two different people.
In what way?
In talk, when we used to, hold a conversation, and a lot of things, see, we were different, so, when my boy died, and I just turned bitter against everybody.
No, that was later than that.
Later.
When you quit the electronics job, your children at that point were, your boy was something like 25, wasn't he? Almost 25.
Yeah.
And Norma was like 22 or something.
Right.
Now, were the children living at home at that point?
No, Norma was already married.
How old was she when she married?
She was 16.
Oh.
And I was married. She was 16. And Monica was 15. I had to go to the court and get a permit because in California they don't let you on. At 16 and over, all your parents' signature, but under, you have to go to court. And then he was in the Marines.
Well, it sounds like they married then when you were in the hospital.
Yeah, Norma married when I was in the hospital. Just before I had my first stage of daughter.
Monica,
she married in 56, 1950. No, she was staying. She was with me. And she was living with me. Yeah, and my boy was staying with me because my boy never did get married.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when you quit the electronics job, what was your thought about what you were going to do?
I was going to nursing school. So I went to I wanted to work at the general. And I passed and everything. They were ready to give me the job. But when they found out that I had tuberculosis, then the sister, she felt real bad and says, I know you want this job so bad and we're willing to hire you. But let me talk to you a little while. So, you know, you have this trouble with your lungs. This is hard work. And so you work different shifts. Maybe tonight you come at third shift, second, or when it starts so cold, you'll be standing out there in the cold and rain, and you have your children, they need you more than all the jobs. So she talked me into, she says, well, you can come later, in later years. And so I gave up. I says, no, but I'm going to, I really did not want to work, I wanted to work with older people. I wanted to work in rest homes because I figure a lot of older people just don't like to work with them. So that's what I wanted, to work with older people.
Now, when you went down to Clyde General Hospital, was this a sort of an aid to then learn?
Yes, That's why I went in there. I figure I learn in there, get training, and then I go and work in rest homes with older people.
So what happened when they wouldn't accept you there then?
Well, I went to, we had a school had just come into L.A. They used to call it Practical Nursing, Southern California Practical Nursing School. Mm-hmm. So I went to Practical Nursing, and I took Practical Nursing.
And when did you start there then?
That was in, after I quit SOLA, 56,
mm-hmm. Early part of 56.
And what was
that course like? What sorts of things did you do?
Well, it's school. Mm-hmm. We taught us, like nursing, mm-hmm. You know, taught about your body and the whole procedure, nursing procedure.
Well, how many hours a week was it?
I think it was from 3 times a week or 4 times a week. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember.
This time, did you just do the one thing, or were you trying to do two things at the same time?
No, I was just going to school and staying home.
Now, how long did it take you then to go through school?
I think it was 10 weeks, I think mm-hmm. it was. About 10 weeks. When you graduated.
And you get some sort of
license
then afterwards?
Yeah, a little certificate uh-huh. that you was a practical nurse, you take graduate and your piano.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
And then what happened after you graduated?
Then I started working in rest homes.
And how did you get your first job?
Well, I was just with friends. You know, that's no big hospitals for me. I'm just going to work with a little senior, because nurses don't like to work with them, especially RNs. Mm-hmm. You know. So I did one, and I got my first job. Mm-hmm. And I'm working in Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
on Rampart and Temple. I don't think it's there now. The new buildings are there now.
And this was a little...
Rampart Sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
And sanitarium. One is sanitarium, the other is sanitarium. Yeah, it was... And I worked in those till 1970.
In different.
Uh-huh.
Now, what was your work like?
Well, I used to... When I was first hired, I days most of. In fact, I always worked days most. I didn't like to work nights. Well, I used to go in. First thing we used to do the day shift is check the room, see if everybody's all right. They assign so many rooms, so many patients, and get them ready for breakfast. Then serve breakfast. And then getting ready for clean the room, make their beds, and you have about 2 baths a week or 3 baths a week, all depends. And after all that, then lunch, get them ready for lunch, get them out, sit them on a wheelchair, the ones that can walk while you dress them, and let them go outside. And then the ones that can walk, well, you get them ready, put them on a wheelchair, and put them out in a sleigh, like a porch, you know. And then... Then there's lunch, serve lunch. Then after lunch, well, then you see that everybody's all right. And whoever wants to go to bed, put them to bed. And then after everything is done, then you do your charts.
Mm-hmm.
And that time to go home.
Did you administer medication at all?
Yes, I did, because after that I supervised a children ward in one of the right here in Baldwin Park. When they had children, they retired children for a year, and they asked me if I would like to take care of the whole unit, the whole ward. I says, well, I'm only a practical nurse, but I had already administered a medication and I knew everything. So he says, well, but we'll take that chance. I said, well, you won't get any trouble? No, he says, we won't. So we had the children for a year. It's a brand new ward. He had built the hospital for that. So I worked.